Good morning once again. I'm not sure. Steve, do we have the toy? Okay. Good. I was trying to think, how much coffee should I drink so I can speak fast enough to cover everything? So if you want to listen at the speed I speak, there's coffee in the back. I'm just kidding. Let's pray for the word. Father, we come before you with open hearts, willing to receive, but not just to receive, but also to let the word transform us and impact the way we live our lives for you. So Lord, please speak to us and draw us near to you through this message today. In your son's name we pray, amen. We're continuing our trek through Genesis. And today, in a funny thing is, we have the shortest service and I have the shortest sermon, the next, 45 minutes or so. Just kidding. And it's one of the guys who has actually a lot about his life. You know, Jacob, as I began to pray for this message, I began to look at his life, but, just trying to go in strides, to go through the major peaks of his life. And he's got an interesting story. And what attracted me is the transformation of his life. Many years ago, I was on a train going to a conference, or maybe coming back from a conference, and I was reading a book. Frank Peretti was the author. I think the book was called, I forgot. Anyway, it was a book. But as I rode the train and read the book, I caught myself with tears in my eyes. And being a guy, I was like, what's wrong with me? Why do I have these emotions? It's unusual. It's strange. And I went back and I thought, okay, I got those emotions when that guy's life was transformed. Then again, I realized that the greatest joy I had in my life was to witness a person's life being changed. And if possible, be part of that, And as I read through Jacob's life, the same feeling, the same emotions. Watching his life, the story of his transformation is just amazing. And I invite you to actually grab your Bibles and read from Genesis 25 through the end of the book. Not right now, it's 25 chapters, but just focus on Jacob. Just skip everything else. Joseph and them guys, just skip them. Just focus on Joseph and just watch his life. It's like watching almost like a moving picture. It's like really interesting. Anyway, Jacob, his name. The actual translation is the one who grabs by the heel. But actually, for the Jews, that was an expression or a phrase that it meant actually the one who cheats, the cheater. And it's an interesting name to have because, for the Jews, names meant something. So if the parents, gave him that name, that was for a reason. And we'll see that. And actually, his brother Esau in Genesis 27, he says at one time, he is rightfully called that. He was a bit spiteful from, losing his inheritance and the blessing and said, he truly is a Jacob. But anyway, let's just look at his life in a nutshell. First, the first image we get about him is the one who grabs by the heel, or the one who actually grabs first. Actually, I put it right, the wrong in the order. First, the birthright. When you know the story, if you don't know, just trust me and then go to read. He actually meets with his brother and trades for a bowl of soup. Buys basically the brother's right of firstborn from Esau for just a bowl of soup. He knew it was not fair. He didn't care. He just grabbed it. It was a good deal. He just grabbed it. And then him and his mom, they just maneuver in such a way that Jacob gets the blessing from Isaac, the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau. So he basically grabs what was not rightfully his. Now, was God bypassing all this? No. You'll see later on, if you read Genesis 25, when Rebekah is asking, what's wrong with my babies? Because they're fighting in my womb. And God speaks to Rebekah and says, your sons are fighting because there are two strong nations will come out of them, and the younger shall rule over the older. Genesis 25. So God knew from the beginning what would be the path of their lives. Anyway, the second stage of Jacob's life is when he actually gets the short stick. When he goes and works for Laban, for I think it was his uncle or something, and he works and he is himself deceived. If you don't know the story, his mom sends him to find a wife in his with his relatives. He goes and finds Rachel. He likes Rachel, so he says to Laban, the father, I want to work for you, or tell me what, how can I get the hand of your beautiful daughter? And Laban said, work 7 years for me, which he did. He said, in the Bible says, they went like nothing because he loved Rachel very much. So at the end of 7 years, wedding comes, you know, wedding happens, and he goes in the tent to fulfill his marriage with Rachel. Next morning, surprise. There's no Rachel in the tent, there's a Leah in the tent, the older sister, the one who is not as beautiful than like Rachel. So he was strict, and that's something you will see in Genesis a lot. Jacob tricked, or deceived if you want, his father to steal the blessing. And he is himself deceived right now, and he has to work 7 more years to get the girl he wanted in the first place. Joseph, you'll see, not next Sunday, some other Sunday, you'll see that he had a coat of many colors that he received, and that put him in trouble. Later on, he gave away a coat, and again, he was in trouble. You know, so this repetition of symbols are very important because they draw attention to something that happens here, and that is a change of character. The Jacob who deceives his brother is changed when he himself is deceived. The Joseph who gets a coat is different than the Joseph who leaves a coat and he runs away for, you know, sake of righteousness. That's the second stage of his life. Next one is very important too, but we won't be touching just briefly this morning, the one who fights with God. You know, that's what his later name, which Israel, means, the one who fights with God. And that's a big name. And the good thing is he didn't get the name himself. God gave him that name, because we will see this. He had a stubbornness for the blessing and for the touch of God that showed truly a change of priorities and values in his heart in his later life. And in the end, if you go and read through the lines of the story of Joseph, actually, one of his sons, he becomes an old man that loves his sons, loves God, and in the end, through whom God speaks blessings upon his sons. Anyway, that's in a nutshell his life. You know, that's 25 chapters of Genesis in just condensed 4 points. But there's a lot more. Please do go and read, if you haven't lately, just to taste the beauty of the story of Jacob. But anyway, if we look at the life of Jacob before chapter 28 in Genesis, you get this image. Jacob, the deceiver, you know. I found that online. I didn't draw that. You know, it's pretty much, I guess, accurate-ish. It's good enough. Anyway, so why do we call him the deceiver? You know, he, by no surprise, was trying to get what was not his. Although God did prophesy, Genesis 25, I think the verses are 22 and 23. Let's read those verses, actually. Why am I in Lamentations? So Genesis 25, 22, and 23. The verses will not come on the screen, so grab your Bibles, swipe or click to whatever you have. So, the Lord spoke to Rebekah and said, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. Within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. This is God's message straight to the mother, straight to Rebekah. So it was there in the beginning. But basically, we know why, because he was called a deceiver. One day he meets his brother. The brother was hungry, Esau, and Jacob had food. And he did what most guys would, Esau did what most guys would do. It's like value food more than anything else. That happened to you guys ever? To value a burger or something else more than anything in the world, and just say, I'll do anything for that burger. You know, I actually fought once with a guy over a piece of bread. You know, can you imagine me fighting over a guy over a piece of bread? We're in the military, and I was so hungry, and I managed to procure a piece of bread from the mess hall, and I laid it on my by my bed, and I went to sleep, and as I was sleeping, a guy that was in my bedroom took my bread away, and I kind of saw him through my sleep, and I jumped him. You know, I was so hungry. So anyway, guys would do anything for food. And his brother, Esau, sold his birthright for that. And, you know, that was not a small thing. The Bible says actually Esau despised his birthright, you know. He didn't know what to value, what is important in his life. And he suffered the consequences. He actually fulfilled God's prophecy on this. And anyway, then the mother. Jacob obeyed his mother when he shouldn't. Because mom comes to him and said, "Son, I heard your dad saying he wants to bless Esau, but you're my favorite. Let's get that blessing." So Rebekah maneuvers and schemes and gets Isaac to bring the food the dad likes. Again, guys do anything for a good plate. And then he dresses him in fur and whatever, just to look like Esau, who was more hairy than I am. And in the end, he steals the blessing. He deceives and steals the blessing. And that is a very honest image. When Moses wrote these words here in the Bible, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, actually, he never pulled a punch, never stopped or never embellished or improved the image of any of the characters. He just showed them as they were. And Jacob was not a nice guy. He may be a patriarch, maybe one of the fathers of Israel, maybe a very important figure, you know, as one of the fathers of faith in Hebrews 11, but he did not start as a great guy. Actually, the opposite. But something happens. His mom sends it away. She hears that Esau is angry, so she sends him away. Chapter 27, at the end, Rebekah says, "Go away and marry a woman from my nation," which Jacob does. He goes, but as he goes, he gets the blessing of his father. Listen to these words. Genesis 28, verses 2 and on. "Arise, says Isaac to Jacob, and go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take as your wife from there one from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother." And now it says, "May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give you the blessings of Abraham to you and to your offsprings with you, that may take possession of the land of your sojournings that God gave to Abraham." So he received the blessing. But that was not the end of it. That was important. God showed him that he has part of the same blessing, but then he did not yet had that transformation of heart. You know, as we go, we get to Genesis 28, where God meets with him. He goes to sleep, puts his head on a rock, and I'm not sure if it was the rock fault or what thing, but he has a dream, you know, and he dreams about angels coming up and down on a ladder from the heaven. Amazing dream. And he sees God at the head of the ladder. And then God starts to speak to him. And God says this, "And behold, the Lord stood above it, above the ladder, and said, 'I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father, and God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, of the north and the south. And in you and your offsprings shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever I go.'" God comes to this guy who was nothing but a deceiver and almost like a thief. And God says, "I am with you." And what follows next is pivotal. Genesis 28, 20 and 22. It says this, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God.'" And these words are immense. The Lord shall be my God. That is one moment of transformation, pivotal, if you want, in his life, when things began to work in a different way. Remember Ruth, in the book of Ruth, in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, when she pledges to her mother-in-law that your God shall be my God. What does Boaz says about her at that time? He said, "You found shelter under the wings of the Almighty." When? When she said, "Your God will be my God." The same for Jacob here. He says, this God, which he called in Genesis 27, he went to his dad and said, "Your God blessed me." In Genesis 27, the Lord Almighty was still your God, was not my God, was his father's God. Now, it's a personal meeting, an encounter that transformed Jacob, and now he says, "The Lord shall be my God." Never miss this part. It is the most important part of his life when transformation occurs, when the blessings start to pour the right way from the Lord above, when a heart is surrendered to God, when a person meets and hears God's voice, and things just change. You know, when you find shelter under the wings of the Almighty, to quote Boaz in chapter 2 of Ruth. That is when blessings began to fall upon your life. And it's not about financial blessings, although those did come for this man, for Jacob. It's about the blessing of God's presence. I forgot to switch on this one. So far we have what? A man with a not-so-good start, a deceiver, but a man whom God has blessed and to whom God has spoken. And a man who said, "This God whom I met, if he really does what he said, he shall be my Lord." And those words are so huge. "He shall be my God." The change continues. Jacob is now transformed, but it didn't stop there. He was not fully with God, committed to God. Remember with Abraham, it was like 6 or 7 trials in his life before he truly learned the lesson of faith. Same with Jacob. He began as a deceiver. He met God, and God just knocked him with that dream and the words. And Jacob said, "This God, this Lord, shall be my God." But it didn't stop there. If you look at Genesis 32 and on, the change continues. He is now at the end of the years. He spent 20 years he spent with Laban to work for Rachel and for Leah. Actually, Rachel and Leah together, and then 6 more years for the sheep and whatever he brought from Laban. 20 years as a slave to someone who didn't like him anyway, Laban. But at the end, if you read the words Genesis 32 and on, you see a change of heart and a change of attitude towards in Jacob's heart towards Esau. He now calls Esau my Lord. He sends his servant and says, "Go and meet Esau, my Lord." Before that, he stole from him 20 years before, and now he calls him my Lord, not as in my God, but the one to whom I show respect and reverence, you know, that kind of Lord, human Lord, not God. But he still calls him my Lord. You know, he fears Esau. Why? Because he's still plagued or haunted by what he did to his brother. You know, there are consequences. Stuff we do has consequences. Or like Lou Ward said, sin has consequences. And he knows that, and he's afraid. And even more, he's humbled. As he prays in Genesis, 32 verses 9 through 11. If you want, let me read those verses. I'm checking the clock just to make sure I do not do, you know, my 15 mitten minutes. That was a joke. Jacob prayed this way: "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good,' I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that have shown to your servant, for with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have come two camps. I have become two camps." He knows that all he has is because of God. He knows that if he's got treasures and families and servants, it's because of God. He deserves nothing. He's a humble person. Compare that with with Jacob of chapter 27. A deceiver, manipulator, that wants to grab stuff that's not his. Now he's got stuff that came from God, and he knows that, and he says, "Lord, nothing came from me. All came from you." A change of heart, a change of attitude, a prayer of humbleness, And after all of this, Lamech says, and he was left alone. And at the moment when he's left alone, he met a man. And that man picked up a fight with Jacob. And they fought and they fought and they fought. And in the end, Jacob realized he was not fighting with man, but with God. And he asked one thing. When he realized that God picked up a fight with him, what did Jacob ask? Oh Lord, spare my life. Oh Lord, oh. Now, somebody said, I heard that word. I think it was Afros. Yeah, he said, Lord, I will not let go of you until you bless me. Because he knew how important it is to be blessed by God. And God said, what's your name? And said, the deceiver. I'm called the deceiver. And God said, no, you ain't. You're not called. You are called from now on Israel, the one who strives with God. Now the transformation is almost complete. He's got a new name, a new identity. He is different. He has changed. And he is walking with a limp. You know, from that moment on, he walked with a limp to not forget that everything he has is because of God. Even the life he has is because God spared his life. And the final stage. You know, I kept reading through the book, and I just enjoyed watching his transformation. When he fled from Laban, what did he take from Laban besides kids and servants and sheep? He took his gods. I mean, I'm not sure exactly. I don't remember in this moment exactly which one of the family members took his gods, but they stole that man's gods. You know, poor guy. He lost his gods. You know? And then Laban chases them, and the question he has for them is, okay, you could go away, but why did you take my gods? That was earlier, chapter 32 and on. Now, God speaks again to Jacob. In the first verse of chapter 35, it says, the angels came and met. Whoops, am I wrong? I'm wrong. That's unusual. Okay. I've made some wrong notes. Okay. God sends his angels to him, and they meet with him. And after that, basically, he says, go back to the land that I called you to, and go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God that appeared to you, and then continues to give you instructions. Go back to the land I promised you. What is Jacob's reaction when he says to his family, let's go? First thing he does, it was right there under my eyes. Jacob said to his household and to all those who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. So God calls him to walk back to the country, chapter 35. And the first thing Jacob says is, put away the false gods and purify yourselves. That's a big step from the guy who actually stole Laban's gods not too long ago, you know. It's a transformation that he went through, and then God blessed him again. Confirmed his name. It says, I am the God Almighty. God said to him, your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. And he called him his name Israel. And God said to him, I am the Lord Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. The passing on of the blessing from Adam on, from Genesis 1:28. A nation shall come from you, and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. And it continues. God blesses him. At this point, his life is transformed. You know, but what does this mean to us? We watched a man changed by God. We watched his trek, and it was a very fast one. I have to finish in 5 minutes or less, actually. Anyway, we all started like Jacob. We have all began the same way Jacob started. None of us was born sinless, only Jesus. We all have the same handicapped start, if you want, you know, use the horse terms. And we've fought with sins, we fought with passions for the things of this world, We were distanced from God and we're enemies of God. You know, we all need that special encounter with God. I'm praying every one of us would meet God personally in such a way that would transform our priorities and values and make us different people, radically transformed people. We need to meet God in such a way that we ourselves, we would know how much we need God. That's the problem. Jacob thought he didn't need God, and God told him, you totally need me. And that's what we also need. And we also need to surrender to God and call him not just my Lord, not just my Savior, not just my God and my friend, but also my Lord. What does Lord, Lord or Lordship means? Means that you actually obey him. Not just enjoy the benefits of being a child of God, which are great and amazing, and many of them, you know, being called the son of God, but also obeying your father, obeying your Lord, living in submission to him. And then a transformation starts, you know. We need also to remember that we are a passive part in this transformation. Romans 12:2. What does Romans 12:2 say? There's one small part there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. It's not get transformation, you know, work hard, be smarter, go to college, No, it says you shall be transformed. We're not making that transformation. We're receiving transformation as we obey God. As Jacob received God's blessing, he was changed by his Lord. He was changed by God. And it's also a lifelong process. He'd not become the perfect guy, the perfect Israel, in one day. It was a lifelong process. It's the same for us. We call it sanctification. He called it purify yourselves and put away foreign gods. We call it, let's live holy life for the Lord. Our lives are our journey. And the most important part of the journey is from your God to my God. Most of you have taken that step. Maybe not all. So I'm praying that if you have not yet made that step to my God, you shall do it maybe even today. The problem is that we sometimes stop at that one step and we stop short from receiving God's blessing because we don't grow, because we don't surrender to God, because we don't understand what that new identity means. We need to make all the steps to surrender to God, to follow him, to purify ourselves, and to enjoy the blessings. You know, we stop short when we live in fear because of things that happened in the past. Just like he lived in fear of Esau and was afraid to go back home. Sometimes we fear God because we've done some stupid things in the past. We carry the guilt of a you know, maybe stealing something, of an abortion or something, I don't know. We just carry that guilt and we don't come close to God because we're afraid of him. And that has to go away. In him, there is no condemnation, Paul said. In the Lord, there is no condemnation. All sins have been washed away. You are a new creation. And sometimes we stop short because we look around, see foreign gods in our lives, or maybe around us somewhere, and we do nothing about it. We must come to a place when we will say to ourselves, put away the foreign gods. Eliminate stuff that takes you away from the Lord, that brings walls between you and God. It's the last step. And it's a step that lasts actually a whole life, you know. So I'm calling you guys today to be encouraged. Don't look at the past saying, the past influences me and I can never change that and I will always be guilty. No. Jacob began as a deceiver and finished as Israel, the blessed one, the one that received God's blessing. But he had to change. Had to submit to God, put away fear, and purify himself. The same steps are for us. Hope that the past will not haunt us and the fears are dealt with by Christ. Hope that as we surrender to him, he will guide us and teach us and be with us at all times. And hope because as we draw near to him, he himself will purify us as we draw close to him. So enjoy the journey towards our God. One day we shall see him face to face as we sang before. And one day, we will be with our Lord. But until then, let the past be past. Enjoy God's presence in the present and live for the future by a holy life for him. Enjoy the journey. Amen. Nope, not yet. Can we change to the old? We'll do communion. We'll have communion now. And why did we choose to have it now? It's actually because sometimes we forget that God does all the transformation. The forgiveness and the grace are not earned because we live great lives for God or because we are great people for God. But no, it's through Christ's sacrifice. Of his body that was shed for us. We have forgiveness of sins, and we have a future, and we have a present too. You know, it's a tension between what we have now and what we enjoy of knowing that we'll have in the future. Do you feel burdened sometimes because of your past? I do. Guilt, regrets, and failures, they haunt me. But when they do, when they come upon me and it's heavy, I go to Christ. And I say, Lord, I can do nothing. All I can do is just draw near to you, to your sacrifice and to your blood and to your resurrection and to your ascension and to your ministry at the right hand of the Father for me and receive hope. Am I transformed fully? No. I'm a work in progress. Just like Jacob, I began poorly, stealing and lying and living a life of the world, but God touched me. Because of his body and his blood, I was changed. And I grow. My wife can, you know, vouch. She's not here, thank God. Just kidding, that was a joke. I'm transformed every day. I am truly a work in progress. And one day, I shall be with my Lord. You know, I'll be again enjoying life full, with full hair and all the teeth and everything. But until then, I trust Christ. And I draw near to him because I cannot earn this. That's why I come to him. So as you come close today, I pray that you come knowing that you have nothing to offer to him but your life and your heart. And that's all he requests. He asks of you anyway. Let's. Usually we have a song at the piano, but we don't have one now. But anyway, don't worry. Chill. Let's pray. And as after I pray shortly, you will, I invite you to come over and take bread and wine, actually grape juice. And as you take and go and sit down, then we'll read the words of the scriptures, pray together, give God thanks, and finish this service. Okay? So let's pray. Father, we come before you now, before this time of communion, to acknowledge your presence here, and your ministry in our hearts, from the very day when you saved us from our past, and you gave us hope and the future, a hope and a future with you, Lord. We thank you that none of this came because of our efforts, but it's all because of your grace. But we do choose to live a life of obedience to you, of surrendering to you, knowing that our heart belongs to you, Lord. We pray that you bless this time together with your presence in a special way. In your son's name we pray. Amen.